NPR.
Cardiff Garcia.
Stacey Vanek Smith.
Do you hear this?
Yeah, I know. It's the holiday music for the holiday season,
yes,
which means it's time to ask for money. It's the giving season. It's the giving season is what I meant.
We are asking you to donate to your local NPR member station because they bring so much wonderful programming to you.
That's right. And by going to donate.npr.org/indicator, make sure you include the slash indicator.
Yeah, because then they'll know we sent you.
That's right.
And we will deliver that love right back to you.
So please make sure to donate before the end of the year.
And thanks again. ...2019 was a hard year for farmers. They got caught up in the crosshairs of the big trade war with China. A lot of the food we grow is exported. And without China buying American crops, prices for a lot of things went way down. Also, extreme weather and fires across the country hurt crop yields. The government has stepped in with subsidies for some farmers. But in spite of that, the debt level of American farmers is at an all-time high. And the number of farmers who are delinquent on their loans is on the rise. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, a conversation with Alana Samuels. She's a reporter for Time Magazine, and she just got back from a trip to rural Wisconsin, where she spoke to a lot of farmers and heard firsthand just how uncertain life has become for them.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Fi, a phone plan by Google. Google Fi is made with features that people actually want, like no extra charges for data abroad and coverage with three networks in one. Learn more at fi.google.com.
Support also comes from State Farm. Why do you need State Farm renter's insurance? Because it helps protect the stuff landlords don't, like your furniture that gets drenched by a broken pipe. State Farm Renters Insurance. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com.
Alana Samuels, you are an economics correspondent for Time Magazine. And in a recent article, you explored what is happening to the rural economy right now and to farming. What did you find?
So think about the 2000s. People tell me that was kind of the golden age of modern farming, in that commodity prices were going up. It was kind of this boom time. So all these farmers were like, sweet, everything's great. I'm going to go buy a new tractor.
And then that was like the ethanol boom. Corn prices got really high.
Yeah, it was kind of like you think about just corn growing everywhere and kind of like fat pigs and, you know, all the things you think about when farms are doing well. And so everyone was really excited. People invested a lot into their farms, thinking the boom years would continue. And then in 2013, they basically ended. And commodity prices went down. Two big reasons. One, farms are getting a lot more efficient every year. So you can produce a lot more on the same land. And a lot more farms entered the kind of global marketplace. So farms in China or farms in Brazil started selling their goods globally.
So that pushes prices down.
Exactly. So technology is making farms more efficient, and there are more farms selling produce. So, you know, when the supply goes up, the price is going to go down. And I think a lot of them thought, okay, this is not great, but next year it will get better. And they've kind of been thinking that for 5 or 6 years. And I think now with the trade war, a lot of them are thinking, oh, maybe this is actually never going to turn around or not turn around in time for me to be able to stay on my farm.
What have all these changes meant, I guess, 20 years after the golden moments? Like, where are farmers now?
I mean, I think I knew that there are a lot of factory farms out there or large farms out there, but I don't think I realized how much of the food supply they were providing. You know, I think it was like 1991, small farms, which is like they made revenue of $350,000 or less. They provided half of the food supply in America. Now they provide less than a quarter.
Oh.
So over just a couple of decades, the farms have gotten really giant and small farms have just not been able to make it. So if you're a big farm and you have 2,000 cows, if you make a couple of pennies on each cow, it's maybe not the end of the world. If you have 45 cows and you make a couple pennies and your mortgage is $2,000 a month, then that's going to be a problem. And so you're seeing a lot of the small farmers either sell off or have to get jobs in town to kind of support their farming habit. And so more and more small farms are disappearing. They're turning into big farms, and that's having a big effect on rural communities.
And a lot of small farmers are borrowing money.
Right, because they keep thinking, maybe this year will be the year it turns around. So I'm going to take out a loan, and I'm going to buy that tractor I need and keep doing what I've been doing for decades and what my family's been doing for centuries, and then prices just fall further. So they're kind of digging themselves deeper and deeper into this hole, just because for a lot of them, they just really love it and they want to stick around. And so, you know, if the choice is keep farming and hope it works out or go get a job at Walmart, it's pretty obvious what most people will choose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you talk about the debt level for farmers. Talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about that.
Yeah. So right now it's at an all-time high, which it's, I think it's at $416 billion.
And that's just loans for equipment and
land. Yeah. But not only is debt high, but people 30 days or more late on their payments is starting to go up again. So it was up really high in the 80s. I don't know if you remember. That's when Farm Aid was created. There's a huge farm crisis in the 80s. Debt went up. A lot of people lost their farms. So you're just seeing a lot of financial indicators that are a little scary. And we're not seeing prices go up. So how are they going to pay that debt off? For a lot of farmers today, I think they really feel like if they don't keep the farm going, they failed where generations have not failed before them. And that's why you're seeing a lot of farmer suicides and a lot of farmer mental health problems, because these farmers are thinking, what's wrong with me that I can't make this work that my father and grandfather and great-grandfather could? And that's, you know, it's not their fault. It's what's going on in the economy. It's technological change. But it's hard not to blame yourself when this type of thing happens. And I think you can say, why do we even need small farmers? Rural America has been struggling for a long time, but one of the only things left is agriculture. And it's not just farms, but it's the businesses that sell feed to farms. It's the businesses that fix farm equipment. And once the farms start drying up, then the businesses dry up as well. And so you're already seeing schools close. You're already seeing towns consolidate. Towns not being able to pay to fix infrastructure. And so I think a lot of times people are just giving up and leaving. And, you know, maybe that isn't a problem, but do we really want a country where everyone just lives in cities? And I think it also creates problems for the supply chain. Like if we get our milk from one farm and that farm gets some sort of disease, then we're not going to be able to have milk. So small farmers would say, you know, it's not only just saving rural communities, it's ensuring a secure food supply.
And Alana, for this story, you visited one very hard-hit area in Wisconsin, a town called Fremont. You spent some time in the area in general, and you also visited one family in particular, the Rickman family. They run a small dairy farm.
So the town, it's not really a town. It's more kind of a collection of farms. But the county that they're in, they actually are having a lot of retail closures. So there's a Kmart there that closed, I believe, in November. And then there's this other chain called Shopko that was a department store in the Midwest.
I remember Shopko.
Oh, really? You know Shopko?
Yeah.
So it went bankrupt earlier this year. And so now this county doesn't have any department stores left. Like, there's nowhere for people to go buy things that you would buy in a department store.
Like clothes and...
Yeah, clothes and large packs of toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know, all those important
things. The basics.
Things. Exactly. All those things that you need. There just isn't a whole lot of economic activity there. And the farm itself, you know, I felt like I was stepping into the 1950s. It had this wallpaper that I think probably was from the 1950s.
Yeah.
You know, there were candy jars on the table.
Oh. How old are the Rickmans?
They're in their 80s, both of them.
Oh, okay.
And they have two sons that live with them who are in their 50s, who they had hoped to pass the farm to. But now they're just more trying to figure out how to make enough money to put food on the table.
Alana, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on the show, we talk with Mary Rickman of Fremont, Wisconsin, about how the dairy business has changed, her family's financial situation, and what they're doing to try to raise money.
You know, it keeps on adding up and adding up, and it's just like, oh my gosh.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. Our intern is Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.